Verse 13 of Philippians chapter 3 is our text for this morning. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is coming near the end of his life, and he's looking back over his long Christian experience and the wonderful service that he has given to the Lord Jesus. He's perhaps even looking back on some of the successes of his ministry, and yet in conclusion he says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, what does he mean? He is saying, you know, when I look back at all that I've done, at all the places that I've been, and all the things that I've accomplished, it's almost as if I've hardly even started. And all that I want to do is to forget those things that are past and to press onwards to the things that are before me. It's quite interesting because the life of the Apostle Paul was dominated with one supreme objective: to press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus, so that he might obtain the prize that's found in him. And to do that, he must, in his own words, forget the past and reach forward. Now, he's been very realistic as he looks at his life. Sometimes we're tempted to look at things through rosy-tinted glasses that make everything appear much nicer, but there's an honesty to this expression of Paul. He is confessing for all to hear that no matter how good I might appear, or how far I seem to have travelled, or how much I seem to have accomplished, I haven't quite arrived yet. You'll never hear the Apostle Paul saying, I've made it, I've accomplished it, I've done all that I set out to do. No, as he looks back over his life, he must confess, I haven't quite reached it. For all of my effort and all of my endeavours, there's still so much undone in my life. I haven't reached all of my goals. I haven't hit the target. I'm not the perfect Christian that I would desire to be. And yet here's a man at the very peak of his ministry. He has filled huge cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has planted churches that continue to flourish. He has preached the gospel to thousands and thousands of people. He has written wonderful epistles and letters to the churches full of sound doctrine. But he's not yet satisfied. There is more that he hopes yet to accomplish. And as he looks within himself, he realizes that there's still a great deal of work to be done. In fact, the more closely that he looks at himself, the more he realizes just how far short he actually has fallen. He wants to be like the Savior. He wants the Lord Jesus Christ to so fill his life that every part of him is filled with Jesus Christ as Savior. And he looks within and he says, you know, I'm not quite there yet. The danger, I think, sometimes is we compare ourselves with one another. And we think, well, compared to him or to her, I'm doing quite well. But Paul compares himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, not even close. Not even close. I count not myself to have apprehended. Those things that I was reaching for and hoping to attain, I haven't quite got my hands on them yet. Now, we recognize that we live in an imperfect world. We're surrounded by imperfect people. In fact, if you're married, you'll know that you have imperfections yourself, and your loved ones are quick to point those imperfections out. We look back over our lives and we recognize that there are many things that aren't quite as they ought to be. We have fallen short. That's what the Bible tells us. Not only have we all sinned, but we have fallen short of the glory of God. We have pulled back the arrow and we have let loose at the target, but the arrow has fallen short. We haven't hit the mark. God's holy standard is still before us and we haven't attained it yet. We have failed in many areas of our Christian life and in our witness for God. And like the Apostle Paul, we have to say, I count not myself to have apprehended. There is a sanctified dissatisfaction in our life. We want to be better. We want to be more like Christ. It's a very difficult and a very humbling thing to recognize and then to confess our failures as the Lord reveals them to us, but that's what we're supposed to do. James chapter 4 and verse 10, we are instructed, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So the Apostle Paul sets forward his plan. While he recognizes that he hasn't quite apprehended, he says, here's my plan. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So he gives us a little bit of help. He says there are things that are behind us that ought to be forgotten. What kind of things? Well, our past, hopefully, contains both blessings and failures. And we have to be very conscious, very aware of the danger of dwelling in the past. Someone said the past is behind us and cannot be changed. As much as we would like to sometimes, we cannot rewrite the history of our lives. It happened yesterday and it remains there. We can't go back to it. We can't amend it. We can't change it. As much as we'd like to undo it and have a second attempt, it can't be done. There's a very real danger of living in the past. Paul says there are things in our past that we must forget about. Forgetting those things which are behind. What kind of things? Well, our sins, for instance. Our failures. That's not always easy for us to do. Because if our failures and sins are constantly brought to our mind, then our peace is destroyed. Our spiritual progress will be impeded. Our usefulness to God will be severely limited. Our past sins and failures can feel very often like a ball and chain to keep us from making any progress at all. And Christian, I'm sure you already realize that the devil loves to throw up our past in our teeth. He wants to use our past to depress us and discourage us and defeat us. The rattling of the skeletons in our closet often have a tormenting influence upon us. And I'm sure there's not one person here that hasn't a certain amount of regret about things in their past. And that can be a crippling thing in our lives if we can't get past it. So where's the hope for the Christian? Well, we are forgiven by God. The Lord has told us just exactly what he will do with our sin. He tells us in Psalm 103 and verse 12 that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. When we come to the Lord for salvation, he washes us, he cleanses us, and he takes those sins that we've committed and he takes them away. He removes them from us. Their guilt is no longer ours to bear. That's why we have a Savior who was sacrificed upon Calvary to take away the guilt of our sins. And those guilt, those sins, those iniquities, the Lord says, I will remember them no more. And let me tell you, if the Lord says that he will remember them no more, then perhaps you should remember them no more. And the next time the devil brings them up to you, you just remind him that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from all sin. And God sees my sins no more. We have to forget certain things that are in the past. Forgiven by God, washed and cleansed. And forgotten. Now that's not to say that we can't look back on those past failures and learn from them. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. And Paul is saying, this is where I've been. But I'm pressing onwards. I'm pressing forward in the hope of obtaining the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're all familiar, no doubt, with the words of John Newton, where he said, I am not what I ought to be, and I am not what I wish to be, nor am I what I hope to be. Yet though I am not what I ought to be, nor what I wish to be, nor even what I hope to be, I can truly say, I am not what I once was, a slave to sin and Satan. And I can heartily join with the apostle and acknowledge, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, those sins, those failures. Let me suggest another thing that we can leave behind in the past, our successes, our blessings. You see, it's very easy for us as Christians to look back on past blessings and past successes, and we do so with an attitude of thanksgiving, but we're not to dwell on those achievements, or else we'll never accomplish anything new. The story is told of how an interviewer asked a very famous artist, who was, I think, in his 80s at the time, which of his works that he would select as his masterpiece. He said, my next one, my next one. Not dwelling on the successes of the past, but striving, going forward with the expectation that the best is yet to come. We cannot afford to live on past blessings, wonderful times of the past, because those past blessings will not suffice for today or tomorrow or the years to come. If we have learned anything of the Lord's blessings and his provisions in recent days, it must surely be this, that the Lord's mercies are new each morning, that his faithfulness is great. He doesn't expect us to rely upon past blessings. We look to God each day to make this day the greatest that it could be. We want to be striving going forward that today, this week, this month, this year will be the greatest that I've ever had in the company of Christ. The missionary William Carey said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. It's a very sad thing in the life of a Christian or of a church when we no longer hunger and thirst for fresh blessings from the Lord. For we look back upon our history, upon the things that God has done in the past, and say, those were good days. Growing up in the Free Presbyterian Church, I suppose a second generation Free Presbyterian, maybe even third generation, skipped a generation somewhere. But they talk in the denomination was of the early days, of the great meetings that they had, and the blessings that they experienced, and the souls that were being saved, and the mighty work of God that was being done all across the province. But we can't live in the past, and we're not expected to, nor do we want to, and we don't want our best days to all be behind us. We want to be like the Apostle Paul and say, forgetting those things which are behind, we're pressing on. We're going forward. We're looking for more blessings. What happened yesterday does not satisfy the needs of our soul today. About us Christians, you find a young Christian full of zeal and doing things for the Lord, giving out gospel tracts, speaking to their neighbours, preaching in the streets. Do we have to say, I used to do those things in the past? We've looked at it recently, and it bears repeating again, that the children of Israel, as they went through the wilderness, the Lord supplied them manna fresh every morning. They were told very explicitly that they weren't to leave it overnight because it would corrupt and be filled with worms. But notwithstanding, Exodus 16, verse 20, notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth. He was angry with them. I wonder sometimes if we don't experience the fullness of the Lord's blessing because we're living on past blessings. Is it any wonder that our Christian experience has become stale? It's old, it's past its sell-by date. We've lost our freshness. Cake can be delicious when it's fresh. There's nothing quite like coming home and the smell of the house being filled with freshly baked bread or baked cakes, and to sit down and to eat it. It's wonderful. But leave it a few days. Leave it a week. It's not so good. Not just as tasty. Maybe you've gone to the bread bin in your house and the only thing there, well, it was so mouldy it had to be thrown out. It's possible for us Christians to be mouldy, to have stale spiritual experiences because there's nothing new or fresh in our Christian life. We fail to move on. We're still harking back to the good old days. We're called to walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. So there are things which lie in the past which are to be forgotten, our sins, our failures, even our successes. And Paul says there are things which lie before us that we are to strive for and press towards. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. The future lies before us. And we can face that future with great confidence, striving for those things which lie before us, not getting off course, are being sidetracked. The Apostle Paul doesn't lose sight that he's in a race of faith. He has a singleness of purpose. Listen to what he says. This one thing I do. Notice the devotion in his language. No athlete succeeds by trying to do everything. They succeed in specializing. Too many of us, I suppose, we try to do too much. And yet that's why the Lord has placed us within a church with others of differing abilities, so that where there's a lack and a loss in my life, it's made up with the abilities and gifts in yours. And together, when we come together as the body of Christ, we we're wonderfully fit and knit together in the Lord, because we've all different experiences and different gifts and different abilities, and when we're put together, we become a body of Christ. The secret of progressing in our faith is to concentrate, as Paul did, on that one thing. This one thing I do. Here's what the Lord has gifted me to do. Oh, that we might be able to say with the psalmist in Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. That's what Paul said. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. If we're going to develop in our faith and grow in the Lord, we need this kind of dedication, this striving in Christ. We must devote ourselves to Him and to the race that He's set before us, and we're reaching for the line. That's the picture here in Paul's mind. You've watched the 100-meter race at the Olympics. And they all set out at great speed, and you notice as they come to the line, they're reaching for it, they're stretching for it. That's what Paul's saying here. I'm reaching forth, I'm straining to attain the winning position. And as we continue in our service for the Lord, let us remind ourselves that there must be that pressing forward, that striving for the line. We must go on to finish the race and reach the goal and claim the prize. A little later in the book of Hebrews, Paul will write, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Let's go onwards. Let's not say, these are the things that I used to do. I used to read my Bible. I used to pray. I used to witness. I used to tell others of Christ, but not so much these days. Let's press onwards. Someone said, if you want to be dedicated in your Christian life, here's the advice that he gave. He says, talk to God orally. Read your Bible daily. Go to church weekly. We should be living in a constant attitude of prayer. Talking to God should be as common and as normal as talking to those around you. You don't have to be on your knees in order to pray. You can talk to God as you're getting ready in the morning, as you drive to your work. Just don't pray with your eyes closed when you're doing that. You can talk to God as you work. You can talk to the Lord all through the day. Talk to Him orally. But if prayer is like the air in our spiritual lungs, then the Bible as we read it is like the food that we put in our bodies. If we suffocate in our spiritual growth by failing to talk to God in prayer, then we'll starve and stunt our spiritual growth if we don't have a daily diet of God's Word. We need to be men and women of the book. We want to talk to God orally, read His Word daily, and attend church weekly. I know that there are some who say you don't have to go to church in order to be a Christian. That's true, of course. But the Lord commanded His people to go to church and not to forsake the fellowshipping of ourselves together. No, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but you'll never be a strong Christian without the help, without the assistance of others around you. When Billy Sunday, the great evangelist, was a young Christian, an older believer put his arm around him and said to him, William, there are three simple rules that I can give to you that if you hold on to them, that you will never be a backslider. Here were the rules. He says, take 15 minutes each day to listen to God talking to you. Take 15 minutes each day for you to talk to God. And take 15 minutes each day to talk to others about the Lord. Let us press on toward the prize of our high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's push towards that mark. Let's strive for a godliness, for a purity of life, for a growth in grace. And I suspect, like Paul, we'll all have to say, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not saying that I've made it yet, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are past, I'm reaching forth to those things which are still before, and I press toward the mark. I'm reaching for the line. I'm keeping my eye upon the goal. I'm not losing my focus. I'm not going to get sidetracked or distracted. He's a man of dedication and determination. He's devoted to this one task. He wants to win the prize. He wants to live his life in such a way that he leaves no unfinished business. It's terribly sad for a believer to come to the end of their lives, to look back and examine what they have done or what they have accomplished, and to realize that they've fallen far short even of what they hoped to attain themselves, to have missed the mark. I can't think of anything sadder than that day when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to receive the rewards of blessing and service for the cause of our Savior. And we're told that in that day there will be a great fire, and all of our life's work will pass through it. And that which we've built with wood and hay and stubble will be burned away, and we'll be left with ashes. The gold, the silver, the precious jewels will come through the fire and shine more brightly. And it terrifies me of the prospect of standing before the Lord empty-handed, to have spent my entire life and have nothing of any spiritual or eternal value to show for it. So we press toward the mark. We press toward the mark and be all that we can be for the Lord. David the psalmist prayed in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And we're told, of course, in the first epistle of John, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And having been forgiven, we press towards the mark. Let me encourage you to strive to live as closely to the Lord as you possibly can, to seek to always do the things that please him, to avoid the things that you know displease, and forgetting those things which are past, press forward in the things that are yet before us. Don't allow either past failures or past successes to keep you looking backwards. Look forwards. Press on towards the sea. Find your place in the will of God. Find that area of service that you can render to him. Seek each day to be in his presence and to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. David Livingstone once said that I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than to be on the throne of England out of the will of God. Find the will of God for your life. That's the best place you can ever be. To be doing the things that God has called you to do. Find your place in his will. Find your place in his work. Find a church in which you're able to serve and grow in grace and minister to one another and fulfill the God-given purpose that he has for you. Each member bringing their gifts and abilities. Because if you deprive the church of the gifts that God has given to you in which to serve others, we can never be all that we ought to be for the Lord. And so let us purpose today to make this year the very best that it can be. That we'll not waste our time or our future, or come to a place where we look back and say, I wish I'd done things differently. Let us reach for the things that are before us. Let's start today. And may the Lord make the days that are before us the best that we've ever experienced. And may all the glory be his. We ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen.